This is Herb Montgomery with Renewed Heart Ministries. I want to welcome you to this week's weekly podcast. Our feature text this week is John 14, verse 16, where Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate." And what I find interesting this week is that within John's version of the Jesus story, the word here that's used for the one who would be given or the one who would be sent is parakletos. Now, a parakletos in the first century was what we would call today an advocate. It was someone who would plead for another's cause or someone who would defend the rights of another person. From the Sermon on the Mount all the way down to Jesus' use of parakletos here in John, Jesus is meeting our human, systemic, evil way of sacrifice and oppression head on. Now, sacrifice, or what some people call scapegoating and oppression, it's rooted in accusation of an innocent victim, either an individual or a group, that those in positions of privilege within a certain society, they can unite their community against. And this can be done for a multitude of sociological reasons, but the benefit is always the stability and the cohesiveness, a restored stability and cohesiveness for a community that was previously being threatened by their internal rivalries. If you'd like to find out more about what Jesus called the way of sacrifice, or what sociologists today call scapegoating, you can refer to the eSight on June 23rd of this year in 2014, or the eSight on June 2nd of this year in 2014. Both of those eSights, we go into greater detail on what this looks like. But the kingdom that Jesus came to establish, remember, it was to be good news to the poor, it was to be release for the captives, sight to the blind, and that which would let the oppressed go free. You can find that in Luke 4:18. And I want you to notice that last word, that last phrase, the oppressed, let the oppressed go free. In Matthew 5:3-11, we find Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And in all of those blessings, it's the oppressed of his society that he gives a blessing on. He says that this kingdom that he's come to establish will be a blessing to them. In Luke 6:20-26, you've got the Sermon on the Plain, which is Luke's version. And once again, it's the oppressed that are blessed in Jesus' teaching there by Jesus' kingdom. And Jesus' kingdom is, in every generation, it's about advocacy for the oppressed within our various societies. In John 14:18, this is made very evident in Jesus' next statement in John. Just two verses later, Jesus states, "I will not leave you orphaned." And Jesus was not referring to him orphaning them or God orphaning them. And he wasn't referring to his followers as no longer possessing parents either. Many of Jesus's followers had parents still living. And I'm quite sure that some of the parents had become distant to a few of the of Jesus's followers just because of their following of Jesus. This still can't be assumed to be the same narrative for every person that Jesus is talking to this day. Jesus's words have a much broader sociological meaning than what we can derive from just privatizing the definition of orphan within their own personal family units. Orphan, within a societal definition, within a community, a societal orphan can be anyone who's been deserted by the larger group, anyone without the protective affiliation of those in positions of privilege, and anyone who's become alone. And these are people whose stories have become non-authorized or not authorized. And they're not supported by or part of the larger community that everyone else seems to belong to. They've become isolated. They've become abandoned. They've become orphaned. And these are the very ones that Jesus had become an advocate for. They're the ones within the Jesus story that we find Jesus speaking in favor of and speaking up for. We find Jesus over and over through parable and argument urging his exclusive religious community to embrace a much more inclusive way of seeing God, as well as a much more inclusive way of founding human societies. Jesus was the ultimate advocate, pleading in behalf of those who had been excluded by the community that he found himself to be a part of. He was the incarnation of Proverbs 31:8, which states, "Speak out for those who cannot speak, for the rights of all the destitute." And Jesus, who, remember, according to John 14:9 and John 5:19, was a mirror image of God, Jesus was the original advocate. And this means that Jesus reveals God to be an advocate for the oppressed in every society. And the resurrection proves it too. God is not at the heart. If you look at the Jesus story, especially those closing events, God is not at the heart of religious, political, economic, or social systems that sacrifice the most vulnerable. The resurrection proclaims that God is actually in the one or the ones that are being suspended shamefully on crosses by those systems. And what I find beautiful is that in this departing discourse of Jesus in John's story, what Jesus says when he's about to depart, he assures his disciples saying that another advocate will be sent, another advocate will come and take my place. We find this in John 14:26, John 15:26, and John 16:7, all three chapters. And within today's systemically evil way of orchestrating society, which I believe is a way that's rooted in the way of the accuser, there are many who have been orphaned by our larger societies. But what concerns me the most, and what I want to talk about the most this week, is that what we have today, and we have throughout history too, but what concerns me most are our communities that claim to carry the name of Jesus. They claim to be Christian or to be following Jesus, who is the original advocate, yet they too many times are guilty of orphaning others on the basis of race, gender, age, and now sexual orientation, ethnicity, economic class, marital status, or physical or mental abilities. And today, too, it's not all dark. Today we're also seeing an ever-growing number of Jesus followers who are waking up to this contradiction. They're waking up to the disconnect, and they're choosing to walk away from the practice of societal orphan making into the beautiful world of advocacy. And advocacy, again, means to make room for the voices and the stories of those who've been orphaned by their communities. The advocacy is the way of the Jesus that we find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And through this Jesus, we also come to embrace that advocacy, if Jesus is the revelation of God, that advocacy, too, is a core element of the character of God that we see revealed in Jesus. And a great example is Paul, who in the first century, he turned from being a religious orphan maker to an advocate of honestly, the Gentile believers in the early church. He was an advocate for Gentile believers and their presence within the first century church. And he wrote these words in his letter to the Roman church that was struggling with Jew and Gentile conflict. He wrote these words, "What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring an accusation against those whom God has embraced? It is God who acquits. Who is it to condemn? It is Jesus Christ, who died, rather who was raised, and who is at the right hand of God, who indeed advocates for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution?" And remember, some of this was coming from the circumcised party, the Judaizers. Or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 8:31-39. Whatever it is, whoever you are this week that's listening to this right now, whatever it is that's made you feel orphaned, the advocate God and Jesus has embraced you, and there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can separate you from that God's love. Not your race, not gender, or maybe you don't even fit into the societal, the social construct of how gender has been defined. Not your age, not your sexual orientation, not ethnicity, not your economic class, not your marital status, and certainly not your physical or mental abilities. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of the God that we see revealed in the advocate Jesus. And the best part is that Jesus, this Jesus, has begun refounding this world. Jesus is Lord. And although this kingdom is open to all who will embrace it, it has begun with giving a place of belonging, a place to call home to a group of orphans. Heart group this week, heart group application number one. I'd like you to spend some time in contemplation, sitting with Jesus, considering the difference between being the kind of Christian that makes orphans versus being a Jesus follower who follows Jesus' example of being an advocate. Number two, I want you to prayerfully meditate on Proverbs 31:8, where the author of this passage says, "Speak out for those who cannot speak, for the rights of all the destitute," and ask Jesus whom he would have you speak out for and defend the rights of. Number three, share what Jesus shows you with your heart group this upcoming week. On November 5th, 1967, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stood before his congregation at the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, and he preached these words. He said, "You may be 38 years old, as I happen to be, and one day some great opportunity stands before you and calls upon you to stand for some great principle, some great issue, some great cause. And you refuse to do it because you're afraid. You refuse to do it because you want to live longer. You're afraid that you'll lose your job, or you're afraid that you'll be criticized, or that you'll lose your popularity, or you're afraid that somebody will stab or shoot or bomb your house. So you refuse to take a stand. Well, you may go on and live until you're 90, but you are just as dead at 38 as you would be at 90. And the cessation of breathing in your life is but the belated announcement of an earlier death of the spirit. You died when you refused to stand up for right. You died when you refused to stand up for truth. You died when you refused to stand up for justice." Last week, David Hayward, in his blog, NakedPastor.com, he wrote these words, "There's a line that separates discrimination from affirmation. We can talk and progress while on the discrimination side until the cows come home. We can nudge up as close as possible to that line, but we will still be on the side of injustice. Justice doesn't begin until that line is crossed, period." This week, let's follow Jesus together, making room for the orphaned voices of those whose stories have been brushed aside on no greater basis than that they challenge the status quo positions of privilege, till the only world that remains is a world where Christ's love reigns. Keep living in love, loving like Jesus. I love each and every one of you, and remember, the advocate God does too. I'll see you next week.